This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
People would often ask me the difference between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. When you hear Prophetess Omolola or some other who are like her praying, you will see that they are praying in tongues. And some people, when you hear them, you will know they are just speaking. When people are speaking in tongues, there is no, let me put it this way. It's like when you are having a monologue and when you are having a dialogue. The monologue does not elicit or invoke emotions. You are talking to yourself. Oh, when I get there, I will say this, I will say that, I will say this. A monologue is always in the realm of rationality, always in the realm of thoughts, always in the realm of planning. A dialogue, however, comes with a variable of unpredictability, because a dialogue means two people are speaking. And that means I will say what I want to say, you will respond, and then because I cannot predict your response, I have to then adjust my response to fit into your response, which then makes the conversation flow. So I might come home, meet my wife, and maybe my wife said that I'm going to take me out at 6 p.m. So I said, okay, I want to quickly get to church. And then I go to church, and then I sit in church till 9. And then when I'm coming home from church, I'll have a monologue with myself in my car. As I'm driving, I'll say, ah, my babe will be angry. When I get there, I will explain to her that when I go to church, so-so person came, I spoke with the person, then so-so person came, I spoke with the person, then I had to go and do counseling, then I had to go and do this. This is a monologue. It is within me. It is always lacking emotion. Always. But when I get to, then I see my wife, and I say, Habib, and I say, and I waited and waited, and I say, oh, no, when I go to church, I saw this person. Then she says, oh, what do you mean? You know I'm pregnant, and my baby has been kicking, and you know, all the things I wanted to say before, I will throw them out. Baby is kicking, what do you mean? Oh, I have contraction. I will forget all the things I've planned. I will quickly say, yeah, let's go to the hospital. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm late. I'll carry her. Yeah, to the car. Let's go. And that's a dialogue. A dialogue comes with an air of unpredictability. When you are praying and you hear your own voice without any form of emotional content, without any emotional flow, without any form of response, you are speaking in tongues. It is allowed. But when you are praying in tongues, it is in your tongues that the response comes. You are the one that is the cantor. You are also the one that is the caller and the receiver. So you go with shakadabarata shantepete, and as you are praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit begins to give you utterance. You begin to respond to yourself. If you have the air for interpretation, you will see that what I'm saying is true. When you are praying in tongues, you go with, oh, blessed be God, the King of the universe, I give you glory. That is your hakatapara, egoso, ekapandegedebe. This is initiated from you. And then you may say that 10 times. Oh, blessed be God, the King of the universe, glory and honor, and majesty to your name. Hagada. You will say it again. Blessed be God, King of the universe, glory and majesty be to your holy name. Hagada. And suddenly you notice a shift. And you're like, ah, he got over. And the Lord is saying to you, oh, daughter of Zion, there's something I want to say to you. And you'll be like, what? I'm speaking, he's speaking, and both are coming out of my mouth. That was why in the book of John, Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit, he said, he will remind you of all things, which means he will bring things into your memory so that you can say them. Then he also said, don't think of anything to say. You open your mouth, he will feel it, which means he's also going to give you responses. So the Holy Spirit will remind you of things to say. It will bring you responses to conversations, and you also have the grace to initiate conversation with him. So I like when I hear Christians who are of the Spirit, I like to hear them pray. There are some people that when they pray, I just mute my laptop. It's not an insult to them. It is because they just speak in monotones. It's a monologue. They do not sink deep into the spirit. So it is from their mental place that I know they're speaking in tongues, but everything is from their mental palace. It's from their head. And I know it. Why? Because when they pray, I don't get edified. I'm like, oh my God, why am I struggling with this person's prayer? It has no connection to the Spirit. That's zero connection. And then when some people begin to pray, my eyes open wide. My spirit is quickened. I begin to feel chills in my bone. Prophecy then comes to me. Instructions come. And I'm not the one praying. I'm only listening to them pray. I will hear what they're saying. I will hear the interpretation. I will hear the word of God. There's someone on this call, for example, where Sister Molola was praying. Sarah mentioned you 3 times. O woman of the flow of blood, drink thou water in my presence for 3 days, and I will renew your hormones. O woman of the flow of blood, drink thou water in my presence for 3 days. What am I saying to this woman? You're on this call, you are having unusual discharge, and you have hormonal issues. The Lord says, drink water in my presence, which means maybe 3 or 4 times a day while we are praying. Just bring a cup of water, lay your hand on it, bless it, declare it. This water is for my healing according to the word of God. And drink it before you begin to pray. You will see that the hormonal energy will be corrected. And now the Lord did not tell me that directly. The Lord told me that when Sister Mola was praying. I just heard it over and over again. I was preparing for this class, and I just heard. I just said to myself, "Wow, sometimes it's just so easy." Another advantage of praying in the Holy Ghost rather than just speaking in tongues is the health it gives your body. I introduced the woman to the Holy Ghost. At the age of 48, she came to Nigeria from Canada. The Canadian government had given her 3 months to live. When you see her, she has no sickness. Like physically, it's fine. two hands, two legs. She can hear, she can see, she can talk. And yet they say there's a cancer. I think the cancer is in her body somewhere, in the blood. Because I didn't bother to ask her. But it wasn't breast cancer or any of those cancers that just disfigures the body. Our body is perfectly fine. It is internal. And when they diagnosed her that she was going to die, she was in Canada. She decided that she wanted to go to heaven. And she didn't know she was a righteous person. She didn't know that Christ has made her righteous. She wanted to make peace with all the people that she may have offended or to say farewell to her family members. So she came from Canada to Lagos. When she got to Lagos, she went to her hometown. From her hometown, she came to the house her husband built in Maikoto to talk to her neighbors. Before she went to Canada, she had the school. She handed over the school to somebody who was running the school for her. And they've had issues. He went there to make peace with the person. She tried to sort out her affairs so that when she dies, she will die with a clean slate. Believing that at least God has given her an opportunity to make peace before she dies. And this woman is of the Catholic faith. So there was one man that helped her years ago. That man happened to be my own church pastor at the time. When the man was observing his AYSC, this woman's husband bought her a car. And the husband, he lives in Canada at the time. The woman had not moved to Canada. The children also lived in Nigeria, although they were living in Magodo. And the husband didn't want the wife to be enticed. He has heard a lot of stories of drivers sleeping with Madame. And so the man wanted somebody that is trustworthy, that can drive his wife around. And so this youth copper who came from Akwa Ibom was from their own town. And so the man felt, this guy is trustworthy. Let me tell him to go home and help my wife. So the youth copper would go home, help Madame, work for her. And he did it for 3 years. Even after she passed out, he passed out of his NYSC, whatever, he stayed until the husband returned. Now, typically, you expect that you give such a man maybe a gift, a thank you gift. According to the woman, at the time when he decided to move on, they were a bit down financially. So even though they were paying the young man some stipend every month, he wasn't the official driver. The woman just felt they didn't treat him well when he was leaving. So the woman then decided to drive down to our church to see him, to say thank you, and to explain to him that she was dying. And to give him something, maybe a token of money, to say thank you for the help he rendered over 20 years ago. Don't forget, I said this woman was tidying up her affairs, preparing to die. So she was trying to make sure that when she dies, she didn't leave anybody hurting or crying or somebody having a bad memory of her. She just felt that was the right thing for her to do. So that Sunday, we had finished service. The senior pastor was sitting down. I was standing. We were going through the attendance and offering for remittance. And this woman came to church. And of course, the senior pastor didn't recognize her anymore. She introduced herself, but the senior pastor screamed, "But madam, you're in Canada." She said, "Oh, I just came to see you." She came in, they hugged, she sat down, they talked for a while. We had to excuse them. And then she told the senior pastor she was dying. And my senior pastor said, "Please, I have a young man here. He's a youth pastor, passionate about the Holy Spirit. And I know he doesn't want to hear that people are dying. Can he pray with you? Can he pray with you?" But this woman, several years in the Catholic Church, she had accepted the doctor's verdict. She said, "Oh, no, don't bother." The senior pastor said, "Ah, no, let me bother. I just wanted to pray with you." So they invited me. But when I got in, I looked at her. She looked so young. I mean, and after that time, she looked as if she was in her 40s, and I was in my 30s at the time. But she was actually in her 60s. And she was sick, but she didn't look sick to me. I mean, physically, she looked young. She looked, excuse my words, but she looked too stable. Like somebody that a guy can ask out. I mean, she was quite fine. And she had a good atmosphere, good aura around her, a calmly calm aura. That was her. That's the best way I could put it. When you see her, you want to sit with her. You want to talk to her. I mean, I deal with a lot of people. There are some people you see them, you want to move away from them. Even though they are Christians, they are born again. They have this get away from me atmosphere. But this woman has a cool demeanor, the kind of atmosphere of peace that you just want to tap into that. You want to sit with her. You just want to stay with her. You don't want to marry her. You just want to talk to her. She just draws you in. So I noticed this. And then the pastor told me that she had a few weeks to live. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Oh no, that's a lie." They said, "This is the truth." I said, "It's a lie." She brought out her doctor's report. I said, "It's a lie." So I have this good habit. I don't believe doctors. I don't believe doctor's reports. If we go by doctor's report, I should be dead personally. Doctors have given me, they've given me 3 months to live before, and they gave it to me when I was in my 30s. I'm still alive now, and I'm stronger than Moses at 80 or at 40. So I don't believe doctor's report. I believe the word of God. I believe the truth of the word of God only. So I said, "It's a lie." I said, "It's a lie." The woman said, "It is the truth." She was trying to explain to me all the places where the cancer has gotten into put. I have taught you about facts and truths. The way my spirit works, am not easily persuaded to believe a lie. If you wish, bring all the books, bring all your experts. You will prove it until, I'm not a mathematician. You will prove it all you want. I still won't believe you. It is my right not to believe, and I won't believe. So I said, "I don't believe." So this woman looks at me and she said, "You know what came to my mind, my son?" I said, "Ma." She said, "I have no faith." But the way you are speaking, so you have to understand how I am. I'm speaking calmly this evening, not because I'm gentle. Oh, but because my voice will go up a bit, but I naturally, When somebody lies to me, especially on spiritual things, my voice will go up. I would be screaming. I'll be saying, "No, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it." Everybody will say, "I because I don't want to, I don't want that thought to come into me." And thoughts are very powerful. I don't want, it's like I have a fertile mind, and you can plant any seed in it. But if you plant a seed of a lie and I allow it to germinate, it will affect my productivity. So I do not readily believe lies. If I ask you, what did the doctor say? And you begin to say it, you may think I'm listening sincerely before God. I don't hear you. I don't. You will be saying like, "But I mean, so the doctor said the fiber is 3.3 centimeter. If they said it as it is as long as a pole, they said it is as wide as." I will not hear you. The moment I said that, you are talking, my mind has switched to the Lord. It is the Lord I want to hear. So the woman said, "I have no faith, but I can see your passion. Your passion is convincing." See? Said it was, it wasn't my wisdom, it wasn't my knowledge, it wasn't my Holy Ghost. Said your passion. He said your passion. He said your passion is convincing. The way you are speaking. Even I began to doubt maybe the doctors were lying. She said, "So let me go with your passion. Tell me what you want me to do. Just tell me. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. Just so that we can calm down and we can leave." So my pastor is a bit stubborn. My senior pastor at the time, him, we always have clash of personalities. When he says things that I believe is true, I will agree with him. But whenever he says anything that I believe is not true, I will not keep quiet. I will shout. I will say, "No! Ah! Disagree!" So I am not a good fit in any church. If I attend your church, now your pastor will be fighting. If I attend any church in this world, as long as the pastor says things that are relevant to the Bible, I'll be a good main church member. I don't mind. But once the pastor says, "Ah, the devil, ah, oh, jiggy, jiggy, jiggy," I put up my hand in church. There was a day one of my sisters here, sister, walking to my church in Lagos. She couldn't believe it. She came in from Abuja and then she said, "No, I'll attend the church." Then she attended the church. And the first time she was meeting me, I scattered your church. I just wouldn't. So everybody will say, "Decorum, at least let them talk." I'll say, "No, I don't want them to talk." Because in my head, if I allow them talk, they will then make sense. A lie can make sense. It doesn't make it true. When I wasn't born again, I was a fantastic liar. In fact, my mom used to say that you make a very good lawyer. Because when I present a case, even though I know it's not true, I will present it logically. I will tie it with a ribbon and you will buy it. When I was 13 years old or 12, I went out, I got my GCSE result. There was some peace in it. By myself, I went to type another result. I gave it to them at home and they believed me till today. Like that was the result I used to do, transfer to another school. And nobody could understand how it trivial, and I didn't tell anybody. So I knew before, I'm a writer. I know how to embellish words. I know how to exaggerate a bit. I know hyperbole. I know irony. I know how to put in the words that make that make a language beautiful to read. But I know a lie. And you cannot convince me to believe a lie. There's nothing you can tell me that can make me believe a lie. If you wish, bring all the judges in the world. But I will not believe. I will insist that you are wrong. I don't care if you are older. I don't care if you have authority. I don't want to hear it. So don't say it in my ears. Usually, me and my pastor usually fight. We are always fighting. Because you come to church, you will say, "The offering you guys contributed last week was 15,000. The church rent and the electricity bill is 35,000. You people are stressing me." And I will tell him, "The church is a church of abundance. We have money." He will say, "Shut up. What do you mean you have money? I'm telling you this is how much you contributed. You are telling me you have money." I will say, "The church is never broke. The church of Jesus can never be broke. He was born of abundance. We have money. However, he is looking at facts. But I will not go with facts. My brain, I cannot. It is either I believe the word of God or I don't. So usually, I'm always at loggerheads with this man. So that day, this woman came to see this man. And it became a fight between me and the pastor. And the woman was trying to make peace. So the woman was like, because the pastor was telling me, Gbenga, calm down. I said, no! Don't do that to me! This woman is not dying! She wasn't my mother. But I cannot believe it. I will never believe it. I said, she's not dying. Yeah, pastor said, okay. So the woman said, okay. I want to make peace. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Will that satisfy you? Gbenga, listen to me. Don't be angry. Don't shout. This is your senior pastor. You are the youth pastor. I don't want to be come here to make trouble. I came all the way from Canada for peace. And now you two are fighting because of me. I feel so bad. What do you want, Gbenga? I will give you what you want. Then he asked my pastor, what do you want? I will also give you what you want. I was trying to make peace between the two of us. I said, give me one thing. She said, what? I said, I know that Catholics naturally don't believe in speaking in tongues. Traditional Catholics, I know that some of the Reformation believe. I said, but I have a life, that if I give this life to you, if you embrace it with all its principles, it will prove my word that the doctors are lying. I said, it is not a medicine, it is a life. I have a life that I can give you. That once you embrace it with all its principles, it will prove that the doctors are lying. She said, what is that life? I said, I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. But you cannot speak in tongues for 2 minutes in my presence and stop. That will make you unfaithful. You know, you said you came to Nigeria to make peace and that you want to go to God with a clear conscience. Now, I know this is a burden I'm adding to you, but I'm adding this burden. If you will be faithful to what I tell you to do, if you will be faithful, you will have pleased God. You will have also proven that there is a power in God that makes one live beyond the expectations of men. He says, what do you want? I said, I will pray with you. You'll get filled with the Holy Ghost, but you must be speaking in tongues all the time. I said, all the time. All the time. As much as you can. All the time. 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 Don't, when people speak to you in English, listen to them, reply them, then go back to speaking in tongues. She said, you're trying to change my life. I said, I'm trying to give you life. She agreed. This was 2012. Right there in the presence of Pastor Sam, filled out with the Holy Ghost. She spoke in tongues for an hour. She couldn't even stop if she wanted to. The devil came and they carried her into her car because she was slain on the floor for some time. She spoke in tongues and she got to her house in Magodo. Spoke in tongues all night. From morning till night, spoke in tongues. The next day, she called the pastor to come to the house. Pastor came. She said, this is what I came to Nigeria to do. I want to give us this house in Magodo. And I've looked at who to give it to, I don't know. So I want to give it to you. I don't want that if I live or die, I don't want it to be because I lived that I gave you, or because I died, you didn't get it. It was what I wanted to do, but because of the church atmosphere yesterday, I couldn't conclude. So she then gave the pastor the house and she went back to Canada. Do you know that that woman stayed faithful to her promise to me? As I speak with you today, she's still alive. She's now in her 70s. All forms and traces of cancer gone. Why? Because there is a life that is in the Son of God that once it is spoken forth and once it is received in the right way with the right principle, that life is a life that endures forever. It is, the Bible says, it's tending to eternal life. It would substitute your Adamic nature. It would take it over. Why did I tell you this story? The person that led the prayer before I began to speak, every time I see her, every time, I see the renewal of her youth. I see strength. I see the quickness of the power of God to heal her. I do, I'm not flattering her. A lot of people don't know her. But she prays in tongues the right way. She prays from her belly. She prays with her spirit. She does not pray from her head. I've seen her deliver a set of twins and come out of the hospital in record time, almost as if she just went to the hospital to drop water. The way the Holy Spirit quickened her body, restored her body, because the same happens to me. So when I see people who are quickened by the Spirit and who the Holy Spirit works in them to heal their bodies, so that you know that, this is not normal. I remember when I went for the ceremony of the babies, and the doctors came, and the doctor came to the house, and the doctor was looking at her like she was. Doctor was just saying, "I don't know. Where did she get her power from? Where did she get energy from? How is she? How is she?" Because I was there, and I could hear all the testimonies, and I know that it is the quickening of the spirit. The Bible says that this same spirit raised Jesus from the dead. He said, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens your mortal body. He said, if it is in you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal body. That means the spirit of God, when you pray in tongues right, it can cause your body to be quickened. I mean, listen to me with your right ears. The reason why I was saying yesterday that Christians don't pray for miracles, we don't pray for healing, is because of this reason. When a Christian understands and flows in the right dimension of the Spirit in the place of prayer, as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you will notice it in your body. When I see things like this, some people think I'm weird. Well, I'm saying things that are far beyond their understanding, but I've seen it in other Christians, not Wigglesworth, not Kenneth Hagin. I have seen it in people in our fellowship. Not everybody, but I've seen it in some people. Therefore, I know that it is not a gift for some. It is because of how these people integrated themselves into the life of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in a believer is not in the head. It is out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is out of your belly that flow rivers of living water. When you pray in the Spirit, bring the tongues out of your belly. Don't be conscious of what you are saying. Flow, flow. Allow the water to compress and then allow it to expand. Tapene. Hey. I deny now. Something is happening to my body. You see, allow it. Allow the words to find expression. You are talking, when I see Christians, I say, but I mean, God, I've had cyst for 6 years. I've had fibroid for 7 years. I've had this condition. I've had this thing. No. There is a vital aspect of Christianity, and then there is a legal aspect. A lot of Christians will say, by his stripe, I was healed. They will say it. They will say it with their mouth. In fact, I dare say that they believe it in their head. But they are not convinced of it. They are not convinced of it. You can say that I can drive. Because, of course, if you learn how to drive, you'll be able to drive. You can say, I can drive. But you may not know how to drive. But you can say, I can drive. I can drive. So they ask you, can you drive? You say, ah, of course I can drive. Of course I can drive. Of course I can drive. Then you begin to say, I can drive. I can drive. I can drive. Then it's time for you to drive. They give you the key. And rather than you driving, you become jittery. You shake. Shake. Your confidence is gone. You begin to think of all the accidents you can have and all the problems that can happen, and so you end up not driving. The same with the things of the spirit. A believer does not have any business with sickness. Why then are believers sick? Why would a believer be begging for healing? When the Holy Spirit that quickens our mortal body, the Bible said this Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. What does that tell you? That someone that is even dead, not breathing for 3 days, not breathing, not moving, declared dead by the cross, he didn't die of natural causes. He was nailed to the cross. There was a spear put in his side. So he was wounded for our transgression. That's what the word of God called it. Wounded, was persecuted, he was afflicted, he was killed. And his blood drained out of his body. The Bible said when they took him in the side, when they poked the side, that blood and water gushed out. The Bible said this man rose from the dead 3 days later. Somebody now said, I will not believe he rose from the dead until I see the hole in his hand and his feet. The Bible said he then appeared to the person. The person saw the hole in his hand. But you can notice that the person didn't see blood. The person saw the hole in his leg, but the person did not see blood, which means the life that Jesus was living was not the life of flesh and blood. It was the life of the Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit has the ability to keep somebody alive long after the person has run out of blood. That the person has no blood again. And yet the person will remain alive. I've seen several cases. There's another sister too that had breast cancer. I believe if Brother Book is on this call, I'm not sure it's on the call, but if he is, he'll remember her. That sister too came for Night of Glory of June 2019 at Ogudu. She had been told she had 3 months to live. Ladies and gentlemen, the sister received the Holy Ghost, stayed in the presence of God, prayed in tongues, not for my. She was not praying to be healed. She was just enjoying fellowship. She began to prophesy long after she was supposed to be dead. I used to tell her that your prophecies came from the grave, even though she was alive. But they gave her 3 months to live. 6 months after that, she began to prophesy. It was long after that that she got married, she had her children, she relocated. Why? Because there is a power in the Holy Ghost that is greater than your blood, that is greater than your vitals, your liver, your kidney, all these things. There is a power at work in you that transcends all that. If you can tap into that power, you will notice that all the things that are wrong with your blood will dissolve. I've seen my daughter healed through this. I myself have been healed through this. I've seen my son, who was born with asthma, healed completely by the Spirit. So I do not tell the stories of those who, as if I didn't go through it. When I was going through some of the things I mentioned, I was teaching PSSBC. Many people who are listening to me now, we knew that story. They knew. They were part of it. So it wasn't something of 1922. And yet, I can say that the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to quicken. I filled my children with the Holy Ghost at 9 years old, simply because one at nine, one was seven. Simply because I knew that if they could begin to speak in tongues and they are not speaking from their head, they begin to speak from their spirit. Every other thing that may be wrong with their bodies that I may not know, they will have power to correct it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit props us up, props up. You know, when they say something is propping, it means you have like all these dummies. And then some of them, they would put them in a vulcanizing machine and then it will inflate them. So when it inflates them, it is the hair in them that will make them stand. So they were actually propped up. They couldn't stand by themselves. It is possible for a Christian to be propped up by the Holy, seen only by the Holy Ghost without any vital organ. I've seen people without eyes, physical eyes, who saw. I have seen, not told. I've read about it, but I've also seen the abilities of the Holy Spirit are innumerous. And yet, it is not as if we do not have access to Him. But many of us usually will stay at the outer courts. Remember when they were building the temple in the Old Testament, there is an outer court, there is inner court, and then there is the Holy of Holies. So many born-again Christians, they are in the outer court. They didn't come into intimacy. So they speak in tongues. Ha! But when you hear the tongues, it doesn't sound, it doesn't testify. Their tongues do not testify that they know the Lord. It testifies that they can speak, but it doesn't testify of the Lord. There are people that when they begin to speak in tongues, your body will begin to move. And there are people that when they begin to speak in tongues, there is no reaction at all in your body. Now, if you understand what I've said so far, can I see your hand? Do you get it? There are people that when they speak in tongues, your body will be moving. Your spirit will be quickened. Your heart will be burning. But as for people, they will be speaking in tongues like this. You don't be feeling sleepy. Or you don't be feeling, what is this one saying? That is exactly what I'm explaining, that there is a difference. There's a difference. All of us are speaking in tongues. Thank you. Thank you so much for acknowledging that. It's giving the feedback. But all of us, but I'm saying there is a difference. All of us are speaking in tongues. This is good. It's a good thing. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm not trying to prop anybody up. I'm trying to make you see. You can come in. Hey, hiya. Holy Spirit, help me. You can come in. You don't need any pastor's anointing. You don't need to be laying hands on God. You don't need to eat extra communion. You don't need to do anything. It is internal. It has to be within. It is from within. It's from within. It's from within you. It's from within you. It's from within you. The Bible says that the dam, the dead spring inside you will burst. Ah, Peter was speaking. Ah, yeah. Hey, but Peter, he said, your path will shine brighter and brighter until the day spring bursts. It is not a physical thing. I was saying that also yesterday, that some people think it is by shouting that God answers their prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't shout when I'm praying. Ha! In fact, you will not hear pim. I had a friend once. A friend, a female friend. And of course, she's a member of the fellowship. We were never close. So suddenly, for one reason or another, we got close. And then the friend said to me, she said, sorry, I'm going to mention somebody's name, but just so that you can understand, the friend said to me, the friend said, ah, you know, I used to be very close friends with Brother Daniel. And when I was close friends with him, it helped my spiritual life. It helped my spiritual life so much that I began to grow, I began to ascend, I began to have spiritual experiences. Then the person said, but when I got close to you, I thought that it would now be like times 10. But it is not like times 10 of that. Why? Why is it that I got close to you and you are just a chill guy? And I said to the person, I said, hey, you see, I have a duty. I have a duty to what I've mastered, to become better at it. I have a duty to that. That what I've mastered, what I know, that I become extremely better at it. And what I've mastered, I came from external to internal. What I've mastered is internal peace with the Holy Ghost. When I get into my spiritual zone, if I'm just looking, I'll just burst into it. But some people, they have to be revved up. So I said, the level at which you are operating at the time, Prophet Daniel is helping you. So he knows where you are. So he's helping you, trying to rev you up, to quicken you, to get you there. I said, where I am, it is either you run and catch up, or you go and find somebody that will teach you at that level. I cannot go back to that level. I will not go back to that level. I will not go back to that level of telling you, hey, so you now see like this, you see like this. I don't have the patience. So therefore, thank God, God has surrounded me with so many great ministers. So go back to either Brother Daniel or go back to somebody else who can help you in that level. I cannot. Because the level I am now, it is either you are with me and we are moving together, we are joining together at this level, or you find your level. I just told the person, because I'm quite candid with people, I said, I cannot go back to this level. I cannot. For I also am mastering the journey. I'm mastering the journey. And as I'm mastering it, I want to become better and better and better at it so that I can continuously be able to deliver on all the instructions that the Lord has given me and all the jobs and the duties that the Lord has given me. So I have to be at the best of my work. So after that discussion, I noticed that the person joyfully went to find somebody else that she would then become close to. I have no problem with it. I know she's listening now. But that conversation made me realize how much I have also grown. Because there was a time I was at a level where I would have to stare, you know, like this generator that you have to put the key and you have to be winding it. You wind it and wind it and wind it. There was a time before I would hear from the Lord, I would have to wind and wind and wind and wind until I would be doing and then I would hear from the Lord. And I would be happy at that time. But this was donkey years ago. That's the truth. At least this would be like 2015, 2016. that I last went through that kind of phase. From the moment that the Lord began to speak to me and I began to hear clearly from him, my path has been clear and it is upward and forward, and I have grown steadily. And a lot of people can testify to my growth. Those who are listening to PSSBC class, if you listen to PSSBC school 1 and you listen to PSSBC school 25, you can testify to my growth simply by listening to how I used to teach compared to now, because I was deliberately maintaining that momentum. I didn't want to draw back. And I'm saying to some of us, Ezekiel chapter 47 spoke of the Lord opening the eyes of the prophet to see the temple. And water was flowing from the temple, and the water was gathering somewhere, and the place was like a big river. And there are some that when they stepped into the water, they only stayed at the shore of it. The water was getting to their ankle. We cannot say they didn't come to the beach. There are so many people that will wear bikini. They will say they are going to the beach. They just want to go and show off their summer body. They have no intention of swimming. They don't even know how to swim. But day two, they will go to the supermarket or the boutique. They will go and buy a bikini. They just want to show off summer body. They will then wear it and come to the beach. And they will be going up and down. If anybody should push them into the water, that's the end of their journey. Yeah, they are done. They don't know anything about swimming, but they will put on the sunshade, they will make hair, they will flaunt their bodies, and they will just, when you say, oh, the water, they'll just go close to the water that the water may touch their leg. They will say, oh, the sea is so cold, the sea is cold. But that is the end of their journey. There are some Christians like that. They talk Christian language, they dress Christian dressing. What? The water is only at your feet. I'm asking you, it's not enough. It's not enough. Sometimes when I hear but I feel down speaking tongue, there are so many. I'm just speaking some people today. We were at Kaji Day one day. 6 p.m. I was in the office. I told them, okay, let's start. So they started the service. And it was Barafabian that started to speak in tongues, holding the microphone. What was supposed to be opening prayer? Because normally, you speak in tongues maybe 30 minutes, then you hand over to the choir, you then lead the worship session, and then we begin the evening session. We were speaking in tongues. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. By the 50th minute, an angel appeared to me in my office. You know what the angel was doing? The angel was interpreting Brother Fabian's tongue. Brother Fabian was speaking on the microphone in the church. I can't remember the tongues again, because usually I have a spirit that resonates with people's tongues a lot. So when you begin to speak in tongues, I will just tune to that frequency and I will begin to hear from the Lord. So I was listening to that tongue and I was not hearing yet, but I was flowing with that tongue, and suddenly, bam! I saw this thing just standing in front. It just stood there. And I just sat down there. I was just watching him. And then they began to speak. And I noticed that he was interpreting by Fabian's tongue to me. He spoke for like 20 minutes. Then he walked out. He didn't go through the wall. He walked out through the door. And I didn't see the angel again. I stood up. I changed my clothes because he told me to change what I was wearing. I was already dressed before. So I opened my briefcase, changed my clothes. I came out to the altar. The whole assembly was in disarray. The anointing had broken out everywhere. The anointing had broken out. If you see that service, it should be on YouTube. The anointing had broken out everywhere. I couldn't make sense of the service, because of course I had an idea what you wanted to do in that service. I couldn't make sense of it. If the angel did not give me that instruction, I would have just sat down there, because sometimes I'll come for service When I say that the service has been taken over by the Holy Spirit, I don't try to control it. I'm not in charge of the service. It is the Holy Spirit service. I will just sit down. And I also enjoy being a part of the service. I don't have to hold the microphone and say, in Jesus' name we pray. I don't believe in that. I believe that if the Holy Spirit is leading his church, he should lead his church. If he gives any of us utterance, we should we should speak on his behalf and not on our own behalf. What am I saying? Release yourself. Go beyond the ankle level. Please. There's no stiz in the spirit. There's no stiz in it, though. There is no decorum. There is no I cannot allow somebody. There is nothing like if somebody wrote to me today, one of our prophetesses wrote to me today, said, Gravenga, this is, it wasn't because of what she wrote that I'm speaking, no, I just remembered it now. She wrote it to me as I woke up this morning, I saw a message. Said the Lord is saying that a lot of people, they should step into this thing. I'm saying, hey, but I didn't, it wasn't the reason why I started. It was the Lord that made me speak in this dimension. So let's give the topic for this class. Let's call it Come Up Higher by the Spirit. Coming up higher by the Spirit. I'm asking you to come up higher. You can go to the ankle, you can go to the knees, but I want you to move into this water. Allow this river of the Spirit to over. Let it become your oxygen. Let it become your life source. Let it become your photosynthesis. Let the Spirit become your life. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let the word of God become your life. Let the Holy Ghost, the life-giving Spirit, let him take you over from within. It will do you a world of good. I have seen people, I've given you examples. I just didn't want to embarrass people. I've seen people among us cured of so many diseases, people giving babies who have no womb by the Spirit because they stepped into the Spirit and they pressed in. Please, we are doing this online. Nobody's looking at you. Lock your door, pray in tongues, be gone. Let the Spirit, let there be an infusion, a total takeover. Please. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Today's offering, just like yesterday, is different. Again, the instruction is this. Those with projects that have not taken off yet, projects at their conception level should be the first to give today. Please just flow with the Spirit. Just flow with me. You have an idea, a business idea, a project. It has not taken off yet. But you know that this project is God's gift to you and it is going to be successful. They are the ones to give first. Please. Go ahead and give. I have just a minute left. And then the General Assembly can join them. Yesterday was pregnant people who are waiting for babies. Today is for projects. Those who have projects, you are looking at the file, you are looking at it, you are like, okay, well, this is, but it has not taken off. Those are the ones to give now. Thank you, Father, for this project. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for breath of life. Thank you for the ethics and the structures. Thank you for the fulfillment of your word over all these projects, both in Nigeria and abroad, in every nation. Thank you for breath of life. Thank you for breath of life on these projects. Glory be to your name, Father. Thank you for the General Assembly. Thank you for blessing the offering. Thank you because their offering, according to your word, is to be a blessing to all those who are in need. This offering opens the door to all projects and gives them life. Blessed be your holy name, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory! Glory to God!
Glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.